So you may have noticed by the big red curtains and the lights, we're starting a new sermon series today, Summer at the Movies. That's our new sermon series. So you saw when you came in probably some big movie posters. And it's easy to look at a sermon series like this and say, well, this is just a throwaway, right? This is just for fun. But I find that when I go to movies or I watch television shows, I am always looking for messages. I am always looking for stories. I'm looking for the ways that God might be speaking to me, sometimes to the detriment of my family, right? They're like, can't we ever just watch a movie, right? I'm like, but look at this message, this theme. They're like, yeah, all I see is this. So I have a goal in this sermon series. And my hope in this sermon series is that it not only helps us figure out how to look at movies and see where God might be, but actually to look at life and think about in the individual stories of people, in our journeys, in our ways of just interacting, we might be able to sense where God is moving and what God is doing. So we're going to do that in this sermon series. We're going to look at four movies. We're going to look at one of my favorites, The Lion King, right, which just came out. We already saw it on Friday. The new one came out on Friday. We're going to look at A Dog's Way Home today. We're going to look at Black Panther, and we're going to look at Captain Marvel. So we're going to look for the messages that are found in the movies over the next few weeks. So today, we're looking at A Dog's Way Home, and that's a movie that's new to me. It's a movie about a dog named Bella. And Bella very quickly gets detached from her owner, Lucas. She gets excited, she sees something, she gets out of her leash and runs off. So the entire movie is about Bella's travel home, about Bella finding home. And it's really kind of a cool movie because Bella gets to meet all these different characters, and Bella does what dogs do in movies. Bella talks, right? Because dogs can do that, right? So here's the funny thing about dog movies. Raise your hand if you like dog movies. Okay, there's like six of you that didn't raise your hand, all right? Because people like movies about dogs because they're feel-good movies, right? Most of the time, the plot's the same. The dog gets out or gets lost. The story is about the dog making its way home. And unless the movie is Marley and Me or Where the Red Fern Grows, it ends really well, right? The dog is happy, and everybody's happy because the dog gets returned home. And it's a good, feel-good thing to do. When you want to watch a movie that's just going to make you feel good, find a dog movie. Dog movies will do that. Now, in case you haven't noticed, because I talked about a dog last week, I am very fond of dogs. We have a dog. This is our dog, Teddy. Not this one. This is our dog, Teddy, right here. Come on, he's such a good boy. Teddy is a great, great dog. And in fact, Susan was not super excited about getting a dog when we got a dog. It took a very, very long time to get her excited. But now even my wife loves this dog because where he sleeps at night is around her head on her pillow. Now, I don't know that she loves that, but she's growing to love that, right? He's five, by the way. She's growing to love that over time. Teddy does one thing really, really bad. I mean, he gets really excited when people come, but I think that's a good thing. Teddy is a runner. So if you were to open the door and just let him go, Teddy would run out. And Teddy runs, and he hasn't done it in a couple of years because we are like hyper-vigilant in our home. Like when people come over, we're like, let us tell you how to enter our home. You go in, you put the garage door down, then you come in the house, then you can shut the door so the dog doesn't get out. But we're hyper-vigilant about him because when he gets out, he's a very friendly dog, so he likes to chase cars. And he gets out in the road and he chases cars. And one day he got all the way out to Fox Mill Road, which is a pretty big road, and was chasing cars. And it was a very terrifying moment for me. And all I wanted was for my dog to be back in my house. All I wanted was for him to be home. So this concept of home, this concept that comes in this movie, I get this desire that Lucas in the movie has for the dog to get home, and I get the desire for the dog to get there. But home is not simply about our dog. A few months ago, Susan and I went to a wedding for my cousin, and it was in my hometown where I grew up. And as much as I grew up in Culpeper, Virginia, and as much as I liked to razz on Culpeper, it was beautiful to be home. Right, it was cool to drive around the places where we had gone, to go to the bakery I went to as a kid, and just hang out in town. There is something about going home that matters. There's something about being home that makes a difference in life. So I want to talk about this idea of going home today and what that means. And I want to do it, I think, through an interesting text to look at this. I want to do it through Matthew 25. So this may be familiar to some of you, it may not, but I want to look at this morning, verses 31 to 40. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Now, this is a quintessential text in the Bible. It's one of the ones that when people say, what does Jesus care about? They go to this one. Now, it's also an incredibly odd text, right? There's a shepherd and there are sheep and there are goats. So the Son of Man is a shepherd. And then all of a sudden, the Son of Man becomes this king. So you go from a shepherd to a king, and then the king says, I was hungry and thirsty and needed a place to stay, and I was a prisoner. All things that don't happen for kings, right? And everyone is confused in the story. In fact, even the righteous are confused. Right? It says the righteous said, but wait a second, none of this happened. You're describing something that didn't happen. I think this is a story about going home. I think this is a text of coming home. And it's a story about Jesus' return. The Greek word used for this is parousia. Can you say that to your neighbor just so you sound super smart today? Parousia. All right, say that word. Okay, this means the return of Jesus. Now, that sounds like a really fancy word, but every week when we receive communion, we pray this prayer, and at the end, we say we'll feast at his heavenly banquet until Christ comes again in final victory, and we sit together at that table. All right, so we talk about it every single week, but I wonder how often we think about it. We think about Christ coming back, coming home, in a sense, to make all things right. Right? To make all things good. This passage describes what will be important to Jesus upon his return. And in fact, I don't think it's what will be important. I think it's who will be important. This passage talks about Jesus doing something that the church mentions but is super confusing. Ushering in the kingdom of God. Bringing the kingdom of God. And what that means is getting things back to the way that they were designed to be. The story says that what it was created for people for. How many people think the way the world is right now is the way God created it for humanity? When you look around at people and you see people hungry and you see prisoners and you see people thirsty and you see strangers who are in need, does it look the way that you think God designed it to be? No, you guys are like, I don't know. No. It doesn't. I'm going to answer the question for you. It was sort of rhetorical, but a head nod is super helpful, right? It's not the way that it's designed to be. And this text talks about Jesus coming back and about Jesus bringing in and ushering in the kingdom of God. And that's super, super exciting because the kingdom of God doesn't look like kingdoms that we might have heard of. It's not a wall and a castle that's built to keep people out, but rather the kingdom of God is about letting people in. It's about going to the people on the fringes and bringing them in and giving them value when the rest of the world says there isn't value. It's about finding those who are sick and poor and hungry and in prison and foreigners and giving them family and life and bringing them together. That's the way the kingdom is described. Now, if that is a returning home or a coming back to the way that things are designed to be, then just like the righteous in the story, we have a role in this. Right? There's something that we have to do. We have a responsibility. Where that comes into play is when Jesus says that people served him by serving the least in society. What matters to Jesus is whether one has acted with loving care for people who are in need. These are not things that we have to do to suck up to God. These are not things that we do for extra credit. These are things that we do to help usher in the kingdom. So where does this movie come in? You're like, Tim, you forgot about the movie. No, the movie's coming back. What is the movie like? So there are a few things that I want to take from the movie and make these connections. First, I want to say that we're all going home. Go home is this thing that Bella says to herself over and over and over again in the story. Make sure you go home. Go home. Keep the focus on going home. And she meets lots of people along the way, lots of strangers, lots of people, but still over 400 miles she travels to get back to the one who loves her. No matter what happens, this idea of going home seems to be what guides her in every step. And I started thinking about it this week. What if go home became our mantra? What if going home became the thing that I said to myself over and over again? I'm not talking about heaven. But I'm not talking about someday. I'm talking about bringing home into now. What if we started right now ushering in the kingdom of God, trying to help the kingdom get to the way that it was designed to be right now? Loving the people who others don't love. Caring for the people who don't seem cared for. Looking for the person who's lonely or on the street. The person who is hungry. The person who is thirsty. And right now said, we're not going to wait until someday. Till the sweet by and by. But instead, we're going to bring in the kingdom now. What if we take the responsibility that Jesus ushers to the righteous and we offer people who are hungry food? And we offer people who are thirsty something to drink? And that mantra of going home comes over and over in our head. When I grew up in my very small church, there was a song that we would sing. And the song went, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. And then you get to the chorus and it says, come home, come home. So I used to think this was a song nothing about but heaven, right? Someday, this is about someday going home. And more I went back and read the lyrics of that song. That's not about heaven. It's not about dying. It's about ushering in the kingdom now. It's about coming home now. It's about ushering in the parousia, about bringing in the love that Christ gives us, about helping the kingdom be viewed right now. And I wonder, what if, like Bella, we just started telling ourselves every day, go home. Go home. Get home. Find your way home. So that's the first thing. Here's the second principle that comes from this movie. The thing that gets Bella in trouble is a squirrel. As much as I love dogs, I hate squirrels, okay? One the other day ran right out in front of my car, and I stopped my car, and he just looked up at me like, yeah? So, the theme from the movie, beware of chasing squirrels. My dog is famous for this. He stands at the back glass door, and we'll open it up. We have a fenced-in backyard. Don't worry. But we open up the back door, and he darts out after squirrels. Do you know he has never caught one? They're always faster than he is, but he darts out after them, and he forgets how badly he had been crossing his legs upstairs to go outside because the squirrel makes him focus on the squirrel. Yo, we're a lot like my dog. There are things in our life that just takes us in other directions all the time that don't give us any life, that don't bring us any joy, that don't help usher in the kingdom of God in any way, shape, or form. And I am as guilty as the next person. This is a really stupid example, but I chased a really big squirrel last Monday night. Last Monday, I had a meeting late Monday evening, and my family was off at a swim meet. And one of the things that I love to do more than anything is go for a run. And I was really looking forward to it because we had been in New York City the week before and I couldn't go for a run. So I said, I'm going to go for a run. Instead, I did this terrible thing where I turned Netflix on. And I found this really stupid show. I mean, I'm not even going to tell you what it is because I'm embarrassed that I watched it. But I sat there and watched it for more than 2 hours. I just laid there like a lump. It had no value. It brought me nothing. And then I got up to go to my meeting and I felt awful. I think I ate stuff while I was watching. I mean, there was just nothing good that came out of chasing that squirrel. And y'all, that seems like such a silly example, but we are a people who easily get distracted. We chase the squirrel in any direction that it goes. And we may think, oh, I bet this squirrel's going to be good for me. But guess what? We chased it last week and the week before and the week before and the week before. And none of it helped usher in the kingdom of God. None of it was going home and taking things back to the way that they're designed to be. I think that Bella's journey in this movie and through this scripture that we read this morning, we get this idea that we are to build relationships with others. We are to reach out in what a new term I heard, which I've never heard before, it's called radical solidarity. And this term means rather than just saying, oh, hey, it's nice to see you and walk past, I actually spend time with and get to know people and hear their stories and get in their journeys and build relationships with them, especially if they are different from me. Especially if. And I think in this passage, Jesus is calling us to radical solidarity with people. To radical solidarity with those who are on the fringes. The way to get home is to step out and be in deep relationship with people who society may reject. To love them, to care for them. And guys, I have to tell you, one of the most recent examples I've seen of this, and I really mean this, is when we did our summer camp here. When I watched some of our volunteers spend every single night of a week building relationships with people they didn't know, kids they didn't know, and to hear the parents talk about the joy in their kids' lives because they got to come. And to hear stories about them. To talk to my wife, who was one of the leaders, and her to tell me stories about the kids. She was radically, and with radical solidarity, she was spending time with them. If for only a week people jumped in. I've seen this with our mentors, with kids here at Forest Edge. In the meals that folks have taken and served in the shelter, in the cookies that you bake for prisoners, in the gifts and advice you've given to young teen moms. I've seen you all giving to the hungry, to the sick and the tired. I've seen you walk with individuals who are homeless and help them move into homes and get them fully set up and be in relationship with them. I've seen your financial generosity step up so that kids in this school can have books to read who wouldn't have books. I have seen you meeting people on the margins. I have seen you start the journey home. I've seen us start. But what I realize is it's really difficult to read this text this week, and especially to read this part about the stranger, and not to think about our current culture and our current society. And I want to be very clear, this is not a political conversation, this is a Jesus conversation. To see images of people, especially children, in fences and in spaces. And it's heartbreaking because what happens is we get to a place, and friends, I don't think this is new to any administration. I think this is a problem. I think this is an issue that we have on our border. And when we think about stranger and we read this text, I wonder what Jesus would say to me by not doing anything about it. I wonder how Jesus feels about that fact. Actually, I don't wonder. I believe his heart is breaking. So I started thinking, we're here in Northern Virginia. I guess we could all pick up and go to the border and try to fix things. Or we could try to connect with people who are actually doing something. So, hey, here's a positive that's going on in the United Methodist Church right now. The Rio, Texas of the United Methodist Church is reaching out. And they're providing chaplains to go in and engage people. And they're helping families reconnect. And they're sending legal services in. And they reached out in the last couple of weeks and they said, it'd be really helpful if people would help us. Because to get lawyers and get things in, we need financial support. So one of the parts of your generosity is that you give to this Christmas Eve offering every year. So as a result, between all of our campuses, we're going to send $9,000 to the Rio, Texas conference to make a difference in the lives of people who are in fences. Because I don't think it's okay with Jesus. Now look, we may question and we may say, is that really radical solidarity? I don't know, but it's doing something. Because I can't sit and watch my television anymore and be okay with the fact that the stranger that Jesus talks about is isolated from any sort of community or relationship. And I don't know, y'all, we had somebody come and talk about immigration. It's a much bigger conversation than I can get into. But that piece of it is something that we can do about this morning. And we're doing. So your generosity makes a big difference. Your giving makes a difference. So I want you to think this week, We're not going to solve all the world's problems. We're not going to fully usher in the kingdom. But what if you have this mantra of go home? Like Bella in the story, it's the only thing you focus on, is helping usher in the kingdom of God yet again. So the question I have to ask you this week in this moment is, how is God calling you to do that? What's your thing? What's your one piece of the pie? Who's your one person? Who's the one group of people that God is calling you to step out to this morning to reach out to? And what are you going to say when the king looks at you and says, when I was hungry, did you give me something to eat? When I was thirsty, did you give me something to drink? When I was a prisoner, did you visit me? When I was a stranger, did you welcome me? I want my answer to be yes. And I hope you do too.